had the season ticket there, but he also was a big Halley Orchestra fan, and he used to go to the Halley. I thought, what a strange combination, you know, the Halley Orchestra and then going to Manchester United. But then, probably, as you get older, you realise, probably, you know, you can cut yourself off from one and the other, like, you know. Yeah, I mean, he never talked much about the First World War, although, you know, it must have been, well, in the trenches, it must have been terrible, like, you know. As, you know, Bill Wilson was, well, he got the frostbite, and so he's, but things were a lot harder in them days anyway, weren't they, like, you know, it's, there's quite a few, the Ollerton Nursery was mainly Latvians who were there initially. There's Willie Hammonis, Freddie Burt Marnis, a fellow called Big Bloke, and I never know him other than Big John. And then there's a Ukrainian bloke, which they didn't get on well, the Latvians in Ukraine. I suppose the Ukrainians were probably allied to the Russian side, weren't they? The Latvians were Latvia belonged to Russia, didn't Germany rather, until the war. But they weren't allowed to go back, and the Ukrainians couldn't go back because they would end up in Siberia, I suppose. Ted, who was the Ukrainian bloke, he was a very good beekeeper. He used to have loads of beehives. Yeah, until the late 70s, and then they became older, and then replaced by English people. There's a lad called Alan Sant who ran the Rose Nursery there, he was there for 20 or 30 years. Unfortunately, he's okay now, but he got caught in a winch, actually, his hand. They were winching, they used to undercut the roses so that they'd pull out easily, and he was paying the wire rope into the tractor, under the winch underneath the tractor, pulling it from the far end of the field, and he's had gloves on, and his glove caught on a fray on the wire rope, and pulled his hand into the winch, and he fortunately just managed to hit the handle. But his hand caught in it, and he had to have skin grafts. Like, you know, he's okay now. He's probably about nearly 70. Alan is, I suppose. Yeah. So he ran the Rose Nursery after the Latvians. One died, another one moved away. Ted retired, and so did the one they call Big John, like, you know. Big John, he was quite well off because he lived very frugally. He lived in one of the cottages near the Dun Cow, which belonged to Cornwalls, and his meal for the day, one of the tractor driver told me, he grew some of his own lettuces, like. He'd get a lettuce, put it in a bowl, chop it all up, put all this sauerkraut on it, and that was his probably his dinner and his tea. And he used to have, you know, a loaf of bread, like, you know. But and he sort of saw a lot of his money was, you know, he had a big motorbike too, which he spent hours taking it apart and putting it back together again. The Barnshaw Nursery was run by John Prince, mainly. Well, Don Lehman was there initially running it, and John was his sort of second in charge. But then John, when Don moved out of the house at Barnshaw Goose Street, he moved to Lee Road, and John moved into Don's house there, like, and ran the nursery there. But Don Lehman, the house in, he was very much into, he'd buy new varieties of things, and which created, you know, interest for customers. And he had his own collection of fruit trees at Lee Road, and he had over 60 varieties of fruit. And I was talking to a lady about 3 or 4 years ago, and she said she wanted to, I was working then at what was called Hidden Nursery down Peaver, and she wanted some things delivering. So I took her name down, and she said, it's cans on Lee Road. I said, oh, I said, me, you know, Don Lehman lived there. Yes, yeah, well, she says, was he the nurseryman? I said, yes. I said, are the apple trees still there? Well, she says, there's quite a lot, but I've noticed there's gaps because he left a plant behind of all the varieties, like, you know. And but also, Don Lehman discovered the Acer campestre William Cordwell, which he's probably mentioned that, but it's because it's one of Roy Lancaster's favourite trees, that. But it's very difficult to propagate because one of the few nurseries that grow it is Thorn Haze down in Colompton in Devon. I was going down to my daughter's, she lived in St Ives, and I called there, and it was just a wholesale place. It was just a bit of a not much of a, other than, you mean, you'd parked on a bit of a grass verge there. And so I said to the bloke who's in charge there, had he got them? He says, oh yes. He says, and I mentioned that, you know, about Don Lehman finding it. And he said, did you find any problems with propagating it? He says, yes, we do. He said, how did they propagate it at Cordwell's? I said, well, the only way Don Lehman could propagate it, it wouldn't graft, it died. Budding, it died. Cuttings, it wouldn't. The only way he could get it was layering it, which was a slow process. And he says, we have problems with grafting it. He says, we have to hot graft it, I think, or hot bed graft it. Because he says, what we have to do, we found out that if you graft it normally, the sap started rising and it rotted where rotted the union where it was grafted. So he said, what we have to do, we have to, it's a pipe with a cowling over it with grooves, he said, and we have to activate the grafted area so it'll knit together. He says, but we have to keep it cold at the bottom and the top so there'll be no sap running. We can't keep it too dry at the roots, he says, because it, otherwise it'll, you know, dehydrate. He says, but even so, he says, we lose about 50%. It's the worst one to graft. But it was originally, Don was going to call it Canute, then he decided to call it William Cordwell. And he's just actually by chance, he noticed it in a big area of Acer campestre, which were going to probably solve some grown on for trees and some grown on just for hedging. And he noticed this one bright red in the autumn. So he sort of went and looked at it in this field of maples. And he saw also it was straight and upright one. And so he wrote to Wisley and RHS was in Kew. And they said, no, there wasn't an upright form of the Acer campestre. So he decided to propagate. Well, as I say, only by layering, like, you know, he could get it to grow. And one or two of the nurseries, well, not cuts, did start growing a few. But they had about 50 of them. And they wrote to Don Lehman and said, they've lost it. So, well, Don says, well, don't worry, he says, because in autumn you'll soon see it. It's bright, bright red. But I don't know whether they still have it, but Thorn Haze are one of the few that grow it. And they grow unusual forms of trees. And they also have grow a lot of apples. I think they've got about 140 varieties of apples. that would grow specifically on the west side of the country. Yeah, because the wet, of course, some don't grow as well on the west side. But probably Don Lehman has actually mentioned that in his recording. Yeah, so that's about it, I think. Yeah.
Thank you very much.